If you'll bow your heads, say, Father, I thank you to give me ears to hear and a heart to perceive what your Spirit wants me to hear and perceive. Not only about our nation, but about us, the body of Christ and the house of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I am going to look to what I shared with you a little bit earlier about the faithfulness of somebody who gets a dream and obeys. Not just getting a dream and then just tossing it into the wind. So, obedience is the issue at heart here. On August 9th, 1992, my friend Chuck Caban had a dream. And the most important part is he recorded it on a tape cassette. Okay? This is a transcription that was given to me with a few highlights from Linda. And she writes, I know that occasionally Chuck would write his dreams on paper and would give them to Kim to discern. But I don't ever remember him recording them, although the label on the tape, the cassette tape, is in my handwriting, but I don't remember doing it. I came across this tape on Monday, October 22nd, 2007. Okay? So it sat in the drawer for 15 years. Got it? 15 years. When I was going through some boxes and after playing the tape, I was led to share it with Kim and the Tuesday night service because I felt the Lord telling me it was for the church this time. By the way, it was such a blessing for me to be able to hear Chuck's voice again. We should all make recordings for our loved ones to hear after we're gone. That's advice. In the dream, our Diana Drew, who went to be with the Lord 6 weeks before I found the tape. Of course, you remember Chuck Caban, Linda's husband, who left to be with Jesus on March 22nd, 2006. So remember now, this is August, and she gets to look on the 9th at something that happened in 1992. Okay? I'm sorry. She got to find it October 22nd. But Chuck had already been gone since March the year before. There's also me in there and Linda. This is a written account of what the tape is, verbatim. Again, say, Lord Jesus, I need ears. And eyes to understand what you're saying about the house of prayer and God's plan.
And God's plan.
Not only for the house of prayer,
but for the United States of
America. Amen. Here's Chuck, and we quote, I was driving on Route 33 in Chicopee. Route 5 in Holyoke. And I want to give you an update. We, at that time, when she found this cassette, were meeting at exit 6. And on the other Econolodge Motel. That's where we had been meeting for quite a while. So, we had also been looking for a place because we knew it was time to leave or move. So, he's on his dream. He's on Route 33 in Chicopee. In Holyoke, and I'm not sure which, but I was familiar with the road. As I was driving the car down the road, I was aware that the car needed oil. Holy Ghost? The car, of course, represents ministry. And I had to get to a store to get some more oil. As I drove along, a thick fog rolled in, and I couldn't find where the store was. Notice a thick fog also is the way that the Lord, when he left the earth, what did he do? He got surrounded by a cloud, which a cloud is the same thing as thick fog. So you're catching on here, okay? Thick fog rolled in, and I couldn't find where the store was. And then I realized that the brakes were gone in this car, and that I had no brakes and no stopping power whatsoever. And I was traveling at a great rate of speed, and I had to look for a hill that I could slow down the car down. Somewhere in the fog, I turned onto a side road that led downhill into a gully. As I went down the hill, somehow the car had turned around and I was going backwards, and the car stopped in a low area. As I got out of the car and Linda got out of the car, there was a house, an L-shaped house, and where the back of the car was the bedrooms of the house. We entered into the house. There was a woman in the living area and in the bedroom area. There was a man sleeping in a bed. The house was connected to a church. As I walked into the church with Linda, Kim Bergeron was preaching at this church, and Diana was there also. The church was filled with people, and they were about to receive communion. And as we went down for communion, I noticed that the servers were wearing three-cornered hats, colonial hats, and it seemed that they had some type of uniform on. As we were coming back from communion, I don't believe that we received communion, but as we were coming back, Satan attacked Diana, then myself, and we went down on the floor. At that time, we were accused of being phonies, and Kim from the pulpit told us to go to the back of the church into the vestibule, which we did. As Diana and I were praying there, somehow we walked back down to the front of the church, and Kim and my wife at that time were attacked. They were off to the left side of the pulpit at this time in a little area, and they were thrown to the floor. And Kim turned to me and said, "Now it's your turn," meaning that we should pray for deliverance for them and Diana. And I both prayed and cast off the spirit that was upon them. End of the dream. Yeah. As I was reading it again this morning, I was excited about the fact that he couldn't control the car, which is the ministry. Because in the dreams, when there's cars, it identifies ministries. Trucks also, trains and planes, etc. Buses, it's just bigger and a larger unit. But also that the rate of speed was something he was not something that, Chuck wasn't a speedster. So, you know, it's not natural in the realm. Plus, this fog, you know, caused him to be able to be, let's say, controlled by this elements and not by himself. He could not control it. And that it was kind of cool. You were in the car, you know. And the L-shaped house, if you know this building, it's L-shaped. There are bedrooms on the other side, okay? And, of course, at the time when we came into this building, the restaurant was called, do you remember?
I'm trying to think of it, too.
Patriots, that's right. It was a Patriots restaurant or bar where they would serve Patriots Lounge. You're right, my friend.
I don't know if it was Patriots.
I don't think it was
something
Patriots.
Something else, but similar.
Similar. It had a Patriot thing. With the three-cornered hat. So, obviously, when we shared this and we talked to Pastor Jay when he came to visit with us at the Feast of Tabernacles of that year, we came to visit, we brought him here, and he looked around, and we ended up with a room that we could use upstairs, I believe, and then they shoved us around in different places. And eventually, about a few months later, this place came available.
And it had been a a church.
It had been a church. So, you see, the coordinates were all prepared by God in 1992. We moved here in 2007. And God took the two of them home and gave us instructions that we could survive in 2007. Catching on? Now I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
you've been on my case for years. And sometimes I paid attention to my dreams. And sometimes I didn't. If I fluffed them away, change me. Make me
accountable.
So that when you do speak through a dream,
I'll obey like Chuck.
I'll record it somewhere.
Somebody might need it down the road.
It's up to me to be obedient.
So give me the grace
that I need
to obey.
Not just for the house of prayer,
but for our country.
We are citizens of the United States of America. Some of us. Amen? Because again, God has a plan for the United States. See, it's not all about this church. I'm trying to give you a connection of why God put the U.S. of A. in this particular time. And we're going to celebrate on Friday over 200 years. And you can see the darkness that's trying to knock us over. But it's not going to succeed. It didn't succeed in the dream. We're still here. And we're in 2014. Got it? So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to create an atmosphere of believing that God is on the job. So that you don't listen to CNN and whatever other news media that drives you cuckoo. And get upset about all these people that are left in charge. Because what I'm trying to tell you is God's in charge. He's in charge. He has a plan. And his plan will definitely play out. But the Christians have to open their mouth and begin to bless this nation. And we have to bless those leaders. And intercede and pray for them as the Lord leads. Now I can't tell you how many years we've been praying for our president. But I guarantee you we won't quit. Because he needs prayer. And he needs to be able to coordinate the next level. You say, well, some of his choices are kind of bad. I agree. Now close your eyes for a moment. Aren't yours and mine sometimes bad?
Amen.
So who are we to criticize? See, the more critics continue to complain, it just magnifies the darkness. But if you start celebrating that God will turn things around the way he chooses, it will be so.
Amen.
Amen? So now, as you have seen God's coordinates with our friend Chuck, it is ironic that in that dream he identifies the communion of saints. Mm-hmm. The church is not just in the earth. Years ago, I remember the Holy Spirit using Gino, saying, the church is celestial and earthly. Just because you go into the other realm doesn't mean you're disconnected from the church. The scripture says we're surrounded by a cloud of
witnesses.
Well, are we surrounded or aren't we? All right. They're interceding for us. We're interceding for them as the Lord leads. Do they need our prayer? They might. We don't know. We're not that smart. We are subject to obedience. If I can kind of pound that in today, that when you get a press from the Lord to obey, You're going to see some results that are going to be awesome. But if you just sit back and say, well, it's not that important. What if Chuck said it wasn't that important and just tossed the dream into the bucket? You see, that little voice, speaks. And Mama pays attention. When the Holy Ghost speaks, are you paying attention? Sometimes when that little voice speaks, you have to put a bottle there, right? My little great-granddaughter is turning one this coming week on Saturday. So we're celebrating her birthday today. And they came over last night, and she's on our back porch on her hands and knees, obviously. And she's close to one, so she's learned that she can crawl, but usually she goes from our family room because that's usually where we were sitting. But last night we were on the back porch. It was gorgeous out. And so she's, you know, trucking along, and she's playing with a ball, and she doesn't really communicate too much. But when she's not happy about something, she lets us know. And so there's three steps to go from the porch onto the family room. And the doors were open, so I've got an eye on her. Her dad and I are talking about what's going to happen today. And I said, uh-oh, here she goes. So she's going on her fours, okay? She gets to the steps. And so I'm careful because there's a door there that's open, and it's an aluminum door, and she could have hit her head, and I put my hand on that and just let her go, see what happens. She climbs up the first step, and she kind of looks at me. She climbs to the little landing, which then she sits on that landing, and she looks around, and she's like looking to see if we're going to say anything. Now, that's the first time she's ever done two steps. But the one that goes into the family room has the bigger, you know, threshold and so on. It's a little higher. And is she going to be able to manage it, you know? Well, to our surprise, sure enough, up went that knee and she mastered it. And into the family room she goes. So I said to her dad, I said, Chris, this is unreal. Three steps. She was having a week ago. She could barely get it. One step. Now she's done three. Is she going to go for four? Sure enough, she trucks along, goes right in. When she gets to the edge of the kitchen, up goes that knee, and in she goes. Because she could hear her mother and Irene are talking in the bathroom. And so the voices carry because everything is open, you know. And I said, doesn't that look just like us? We see one step, we finagle one step pretty good. But all of a sudden there's three, and we've got a challenge in front of us. Can we do it? Will we make the choice to put the leg up? Children are teaching us.
If there's a good enough reason, they will.
Thank you. The voice is what I was after.
That was good, Peggy.
That was really good.
But the voice is what I was getting at. Is right. See, the voice was calling. She was focused on those voices that were in the other room. She didn't care how much energy it was going to take, and she was going to do it.
That's what he said this morning. Listen for my voice.
That's right on. Mm-hmm. So you understand the coordinates that God has on every single family, every single individual. We sometimes kind of poo-poo the individual away because we say, oh, we're corporate. We are corporate, but we're still individuals. And God is interested in every single one of us. Amen. There's not one that is not important. Every single individual is important. Every vessel, God has a purpose. And we cannot just kind of just float along making believe that it doesn't have some importance. I want to take you now to John chapter 8, verse 51. And Gail, I want you to make sure that you have your amplified, because I believe you have it, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because I didn't take mine out yet. John chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We trust you, Lord, to bring forth what your word has given and how life is so important. And the life of Christ in us is doubly important. We're going to start at verse 48. The claims of Jesus about himself. And the Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and a demon-possessed?" I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Mm-mm. Now, you say, how can I believe that? How can I believe it? It's going to depend on how you look at things, isn't it? So, Gail, if you'll come up, I want you to read it in the Amplified because I'm about to hit you with a 2x4 right now.
Want me up there to read it?
Yeah, please. Because I want to make sure that it's recorded. Amplified, 51.
51. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone observes my teaching, lives in accordance with my message.
Lives what?
Lives in accordance with my message.
Yep.
Keeps my word.
Yep.
He will by no means ever see and experience death.
Never see and experience death. How does that fit your tradition? How does it fit your religion? I've got to prepare for a funeral this week, so how does it fit me? Let's be honest. Is Chuck dead?
No.
His see?
Body is dead, but his spirit is alive.
Thank you! I'm trying to hit you hard so that you'll awaken to something. Chuck is not dead. Neither is Diana. There's proof. Is Jesus dead?
No.
Thank you. What did he do to wake us up? He rose from the dead. He's the first of many
brothers.
So you see, it's time that you get a new attitude. It's time for a new attitude. Do you really want to focus on dying to get out of here?
No.
Well, we've got people that are filling up mental institutions that want to be dead. Had a phone call from one of them yesterday. Oh, this person said, I am so jealous of my cousin because he committed suicide, so he's not hurting anymore. And I said, you need a new belief system. You're a believer. And you've got to get God's opinion of you instead of your own emotional opinion of you. But I'm so bad. I said, I don't agree. I don't agree. You're not a bad person. God has already washed away your sin. And we went on. But you see, tasting death to self is something else. Tasting death to your selfish commands and demands upon yourself needs to be adjusted. That's when you decided to say to Jesus, look, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And on the day appointed when you were baptized, you went down into the water, you died with him, and you came out of the water, what?
Alive.
Alive. So you see, you're alive to life, not alive to death. And when you get a message of the reality of the communion of saints in every aspect of it, it is important that you stay connected and cry out to the Lord for the help you need. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14 says, God's angels are ministering spirits. Those that are gone on the other side and their body is no longer with them, they have a new body. They are like the angels. And they're doing the work that only God commissions them to do. I'm not saying that you've got to start crying out to the saints. I am saying you depend on the Lord. You stay focused on Jesus. Don't start worshiping saints, because that's not God. That's not what he wants. He's the director. He's the head of the body, not you. So be aware. Yes, what he has had you do while you were in the flesh will continue in the realm of the spirit. Because we are spirit beings living in a body. This is a temple. Okay? And there is a day coming that this temple will overrule death as well. It is going to be done. But you know where it's got to start? Right here with your mouth and your confession. Your confession needs to change about how you want to die to get out of here. Or die to get out of your problems. It would be a lot better if you started to speak about the life that's coming out of your mouth to bring life to those that are dying around you. Bring them back to life. Bring yourself back to life. If sickness and disease and infirmity is trying to get a hold of you and destroy you, you can what? Open your mouth and command it to? In the dream, Linda and I are under attack. And who's praying for us? Yeah. Chuck and Linda, Chuck and Diana, are now interceding for us. Yeah. Now, did Chuck know that and coordinate that she don't find the cassette? No. Who's in charge? The Lord. Who forced her to go into that bedroom and open that up? See, I was sharing this with one of my cousins the other day. I said, I have two totes that are full of my mother's stuff, and the last time I tried to clean that up, I couldn't do it. I kept bawling my eyes out. So that's not very good. You know, I don't do too good when I'm crying and I'm trying to read something. It's dripping and, you know, it's messy, and I just put it all in the tote, and I said, when I can handle this, I will do it. So my expectation was, during the winter months, I thought things were going to calm down, but instead of calming down, they got a little more busy. And I couldn't do it. So it didn't happen last winter. It may happen whenever the Lord gives me the press. But what I'm getting at is this. You're right on time. Our nation is not late or early. It's on time. Our church is on time. The church, this church, is not going to fail. It's going to succeed. Because I didn't give it birth. I had no idea that that was birthed by the Lord in Chuck before I knew anything about it. Because you know when I found out about it? In 2002. It took 10 years. Chuck knew about it before. Got it? Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, your plan for my life has multiples of revelations that are needed for me to go forward in obedience. In relations, not only to the church, this church or the corporate church, or this nation, or this whole world that you have your hand on, especially on Israel and the Middle East, because Jerusalem is the time clock for God to speak to us.